brothers and sisters. Today we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. It's on this Sunday every year that we contemplate the kingship of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Redeemer. And when we contemplate the kingship of Christ, Blessed John Paul II reminded us that if we assess Christ's kingship according to the criteria of this world, it will appear paradoxical. And this is because Jesus' kingdom is a divine kingdom, and therefore it transcends human logic. When we think of kings, we often think of people with a great deal of wealth and people who can exercise great power over others. We think of men with armies who can conquer in battle all those who oppose them. We think of men with thrones of gold and extreme wealth. But as Christians, when we declare that Jesus Christ is the King of the universe, we challenge this notion of kingship. We declare that Jesus Christ is the King of the universe, and we disempower all other claims to kingship. We say that all other claimants to kingship and royalty are false, that there is only one king, and that is Jesus Christ. When we honor Jesus Christ as King of the universe, we claim that kingship is defined not by wealth or political power or status. Rather, as Jesus shows us, true kingship is defined by loving service. Jesus taught us that the true king is the one who serves the needs of his subjects. He's the one who always seeks what is good for those who are entrusted to his care. Jesus spoke of himself as the good shepherd, the one who tends to the needs of his flock, and as the vine which provides nourishment to all the branches that are grafted onto it. Both of these images speak of the way in which his concern was not for himself, but for those whom he served. Friends, when we are baptized, into Christ's kingship. We become part of a kingly people. And this doesn't mean that we're all going to be in positions where we lead and direct others, or where we have great wealth, or where we have others at our beck and call. But what it does mean is that we will all have people who are entrusted to us, people whom we must serve in our lives. In other words, Jesus' model of kingship applies to all of us. We are always called to be people who seek the good of others rather than seeking our own self-interest. Let me give you an example of this and what it looks like. My father is a physician, and on more than one occasion growing up, I heard him lament how many people go into the practice of medicine for the wrong reasons. That is to say, they became doctors because of the wealth and honor that comes with becoming a doctor. My dad always had trouble with this because he believes that anyone entering the medical field should do so not for wealth or status, but because they want to help people by healing them and by assisting them to live healthy lives. Now, I don't know if my dad did this consciously or not, but when he did this, he's essentially applied Jesus' model of kingship to his own life. He went into the practice of medicine not for wealth or for honor, but in order to be of service to others who could benefit from his skills. And the same can be applied to any field or any career, really. Whatever profession you're in, even if it's not your first choice of careers, can be lived in a way in which you seek the service of others. You know, teachers could go into their profession and treat it merely as a job, or they can have a real passion to help others learn. People in retail can merely seek to sell products to customers, or they can truly listen to the needs of their customers and help to meet those needs. Jesus' model of kingship, though, even transcends our career lives. It permeates every relationship in our lives. Whether you're a child or an adult who's retired, you're still called to be someone who serves others. I'm going to address the children in the congregation for a minute. If you're sitting next to one, nudge them and say, Father's talking to you right now. For all the kids in this congregation, Jesus asks you to be people who are people of service. And one of the ways in which you can serve people around you is by sharing the energy and passion that you have for many things in life with other people. You share it with your friends, share it with the adults and the grown-ups in your life as well. Because when you share that energy, it energizes us as well. Some of the kids in this congregation know that I like to hang out over at St. Patrick's School during the weekdays. And I do that, I've got some nodding of the heads here. And I do that because I get so much from you guys. You guys serve me by sharing all of your energy and enthusiasm with me. The other way you can serve people is by following the instructions of your parents, by obeying them. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Have you ever noticed that when you don't obey your parents, they kind of become grumpy? And not just to you, but to everybody else around them. Did you ever notice that? Yeah, I'm getting some nods of the head. But when you behave, your parents aren't grumpy. You know, they're usually nice people and accommodating to everyone around them. So you help everybody by obeying your parents, not just yourselves. Okay, now I want to talk to the adults in the room. So children, if you're near an adult, nudge them and say, Father Brian's talking to you now. Adults, you too are called to be people of service. And you become people of service when you worry not about your own needs, but when you worry about the needs of those around you and work to serve and meet those needs of other people around you. Now, let's be clear. Being a people of service doesn't mean that we give in to the whims of everyone entrusted to our care. Rather, what it means is that we seek the good of those entrusted to our care. And this can be a difficult thing for all of us to do and to understand properly. I'll admit that as a priest, I often have trouble with this because sometimes what people need isn't the same as what they want. And I find that if I want to be a good servant for the people, I need to find a way to address their needs and not their wants. And sometimes what they need might even be something they're vehemently opposed to, but it's still what they need. And I don't think this is unique to priesthood. I think this can be seen in almost every field of life. I mean, anybody who's a parent can certainly say that oftentimes what their children need might be different from what their children want, which is candy and video games all the time. So we know that giving them the candy and video games all the time wouldn't really be meeting their needs. And so we find that meeting needs can be a difficult thing. You know, doctors would have the same thing, too. Sometimes doctors have to tell a patient, you need to have surgery, even if the patient doesn't want to have surgery. So it can be difficult for us to be people of service. But the fact that being a people of service is difficult should come as absolutely no surprise to us. All we need to do is to look at the throne of our King, which is, of course, the cross. And we realize that this is going to be a difficult task. But the cross is, in fact, the throne of our King, because it's on the cross that Jesus perfected the model of self-giving love by laying down his life, not because it benefited him, but because it benefited others. And while the cross appears to be difficult, the paradox that Blessed John Paul II referred to is that we should really rejoice in the throne of our King and not lament it. And we rejoice because we've all benefited from it. Through his self-giving love, we have inherited eternal life with him. And we've been given a share in his kingship. We've been given the opportunity to attain true greatness by being of service to others. And so if we take our baptismal call to kingship seriously, then we must remember that our kingship needs to be expressed through service. And not only that, we say that Jesus Christ is King of the universe, which means that this service needs to be expressed everywhere in the universe. It means here on earth. It means on the moon and on Mars if we decide to populate those. And it means in heaven as well. And we live out this kingship not by flaunting our status and our power, but by seeking the good of those entrusted to our care, of those around us. Every time we do that, Every time we forsake our own self-interest for the needs of others, we honor the true King, Jesus Christ, and we make his kingdom present. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who honor Christ as the true King of the universe.